G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 205, brought to you by our Patreon members community. Now, Patreon community has been a huge success in 2023 for people looking to get some extra accountability in return for the support that they give me and enable us to be able to continue to bring you the podcast commercial free each and every week. We have two Zoom meetings a month, both in the Northern and Southern Hemisphere at times that are friendly for people to join. There's also bonus discussion topics, bonus audio series, and bonus podcasts. So if you'd like to come and join us in the Patreon community and get some extra accountability for your intermittent fasting lifestyle and get all the help you need for a minimal amount each month, and what you get back is certainly worth a lot more, go look at the link in the show notes here at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. Okay, folks, let's get on with today's podcast. Really excited to be speaking with Chrissy Carter. And Chrissy lives in beautiful Papamoa Beach in New Zealand. And Chrissy has had a lot of trials and tribulations with her weight in her life and some traumas and that sort of thing. And she's learned to overcome that. And she's really made intermittent fasting a fantastic lifestyle for herself, as you'll hear in this podcast. But I don't want to spoil the story any further about Chrissy, because she really is an amazing person. I want to hear from herself. Without any further ado, welcome Chrissy. Oh, g'day, Chrissy, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure to have you here, Chrissy, all the way there from Papamoa in New Zealand, really close to my hometown of Mount Maunganui, in a magnificent spot there. But Chrissy, for those people listening around the world that may not know your story, if you wouldn't mind just sharing a bit about your history with weight, health, that sort of thing, and how you actually found out about intermittent fasting and how you got going with it.
I think I was about 14 when I first realised that I was struggling with my weight. I went to Australia and I was spending some time with my nana over there, and I just realised that I wasn't as small as what I could be. I think my nana was quite overweight as well, and I think that was probably an indicator, I guess. She'd struggle with her weight too, but she kind of brought up that I was overweight, I think. So a bit bigger than the other girls. But looking back, I actually wasn't really that big, just a little bit. So then began the journey of thinking that I was overweight. And then I met my husband, my first husband, when I was 18. And we were both working at Tokanui Hospital, which is a place where they used to send people with disabilities. And so we met out there, and I became pregnant when I was 20. I had my first baby at 20. And when I got pregnant with her, I was probably at my lowest weight, which was at 68 kilos. And I only gained maybe 4 kilos when I was pregnant with her. So that wasn't a big issue. It wasn't until probably my third pregnancy. I have 6 children and a stepson in America as well. With my third baby, I put on a bit of weight. I can't remember how much it was. But over the next few years, at my highest weight, I got up to 120 kilos, which is about 244 pounds or something like that. And that was when I met my current husband. I had a marriage breakup that was extremely stressful. I wasn't ever going to get married again, but God had other plans. So I met my husband, and he's an American, and We met through Facebook, through some mutual friends, and got together. And when I flew over to America to meet his family and to get married, sitting in that aeroplane wasn't that the best of trips, but I didn't think too much about it. And then I fell pregnant very quickly with our son, my youngest boy. And so as a 44-year-old mum, who was somebody who was pregnant, I was at very high risk pregnancy. Thankfully, it didn't cause too many problems, just a little bit of hypertension towards the end.
How did you find out about fasting, Chrissy?
So on the keto page, quite a few people talk about it, and I found out about Sarah Cull's New Zealand intermittent fasting page. And so I thought that was something that I might like to do to complement my fast, my keto. And I did one of Sarah's courses, and that was back in 2019. I think it was early 2020 when I did one of Sarah's courses, and I did really well. But not long after that, I started working. I started studying full time as well as working full time, and took on some extra responsibility at work. So along with that came my high blood pressure again too.
What was your protocol when you started after doing that course with Sarah? And a big shout out to Sarah Cull there, New Zealand Intermittent Fasting Group. Sarah's doing wonderful work down there in New Zealand. So how did you actually get started? What was your protocol and why did you choose that?
Believe back then I was doing 16:8, and I think I went to 24. But as I said, I didn't do it for that long because mainly most of that weight loss was from keto. But this time around, so my blood pressure started to go high again, and I had another grandbaby, so I have four grandchildren, and Freya was born in May, and by September I was just like, it's 3 months till my 50th birthday, and I am gonna lose 10 kilos before my birthday was my plan. That's how I started back on intermittent fasting. Instead of going keto, I went straight to intermittent fasting. I did 16:8 for probably only 2 or 3 weeks before I went to 24. And at that point, I started losing weight quite quickly. So I thought I would drop it back down to 16:8 for a little while, which I did, and then went back to OMAD again.
With your OMAD, one meal a day lifestyle we're talking about there when you started, you're sort of mixing it up between 16 and 8, 20 and 4. And how did that look like for you in your eating window? Was it that restaurant style where you'd open with a snack, then maybe have a meal and some dessert, or was it just mainly one plate of food a day? How did that work?
No, it was mainly restaurant style. Listening to your podcast kind of got me into that routine. Now probably it's more one plate a day, right at this moment anyway.
So you said there that your high weight was up around that 120 kilos or 244 pounds. And just for the stats out there, I know people like to know that. Where are you at now with your weight and how long has the process been with intermittent fasting to get to the current weight where you are now?
So, I actually didn't weigh myself this morning. I've been at work for 2 days. My weight's sitting around 75. It did go, I have been as low as 72, but I've been through a couple of stressful months. So my weight crept back up to about 78, but I've got it back down to 75 again. So it's a total weight of about 35 kilos lost. And I've now been fasting consistently for a year, just over a year now. 4th of September was my anniversary. I'm 5'4" or 165 centimeters,
Wow.
164 centimeters. Yeah.
That's an incredible amount of weight to lose in a year. It must be magnificent to do that.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, we'll get into the NSVs and how you feel in a moment. But sort of, does that eating window change or the protocols change much? Or have you done anything like extended fasting or ADF in the last year?
I did do about a month of ADF, but what I found was that I was overeating, so it wasn't really viable for me to just do that at that stage because my eating just was out of control in my up days. So I decided that it was better to go back to what I was used to, doing that 24. Some days it's 23-1. It just depends on what my day looks like, really.
Yeah, how life's going. I mean, six
Yeah.
kids, that's a lot of kids to look after.
Most of them have left home. I've only got two at home now.
Yeah, well done on that. Age 50, six kids, four grandchildren, is it? Did you say
Yeah,
four?
four grandchildren. So my oldest just turned 30 on the 5th of September, and my youngest is six. So
Wow. So that
yeah.
catalyst that you had when your birthday was coming up, you decided that you were going to lose that weight and you got into intermittent fasting, and
Yeah.
you saw the results coming. And now you've settled into this lifestyle quite well. And just tell me, when you first started, did you get the message of the clean fast? Did you know what that was, or did that come later?
Yeah, well, when I originally started with Sarah, all that time ago, the clean fast was really important. So yeah, I got that message straight away.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about your eating window now and the type of food you eat. And when I often ask people, like, we all know basically why we got so heavy, right? The lifestyle that we were leading, the types of food we had, stress in our life, all of that. And so, has the quality of your food changed much in terms of high quality food, or are you pretty much eating all the things?
Right from the start, I started eating clean. So the only processed foods that I would be having right at the beginning was just cheese and salami, a bit of yogurt. That's pretty much the only processed foods that I was eating. Every now and then I'll have a day where I don't, where I will eat processed foods and I feel terrible afterwards. And it's not like a, it's not because I feel guilty, it's just because it just makes my body feel awful. So yeah, and there's some days recently where it's been a little bit out of control for maybe 2 or 3 days, and so there's the sugar and stuff that it creeps back in. But I've found that I've been able to quite quickly pull that back and go back to my eating well. I'm actually for the last 3 or 4 months I've been eating carnivore, except for those times where I've blown out. Yeah, so part of that was and that's part of my non-scale victory, I guess. I hurt my knee. I had a fall and I tripped over and hurt my knee, and I had bursitis on my knee, and I was taking pain relief, and because of the pain relief I had to take twice a day, morning and night, and I had to eat with taking the naproxen. So my weight had kind of gone a bit haywire, and I was like, this is, I can't do this, can't keep doing this, I have to do something. And so I Googled, I think it was things for inflammation, came up with carnivore. So I decided that I was going to go carnivore, and within a week of starting carnivore and taking turmeric actually as well, but my bursitis, which had been there for over 6 weeks, had disappeared.
Wow.
And so I decided to stay with carnivore for a while.
Yeah, you just touched on the non-scale victories there. I mean, obviously, a year now, and I always say to people when they start intermittent fasting, give this 6 to 12 months and then give it an evaluation. So, those non-scale victories and the health benefits, aside from the fantastic weight loss that you've had, what have they been like for you? And what have you seen apart from what you were just talking about and the way you feel and all the rest of it?
I have the energy to walk up to 25 kilometers a day if I want to. Recently, the young man that I've supported has kind of pulled that back, and we do a 12.5K walk every day on the beach most days. I have my blood pressure's dropped. I've gone from a size 18 to 20 to a size 10 to 12, which has been awesome. I've loved being able to just go shopping and going shopping in the normal section. And if I go to an op shop, which I love op shopping, it's my favorite thing to do, to buy clothes, is because I can get good quality clothes for quite cheap. So I love doing that. Love being able to go into the shop and choose something, because there's quite a lot of usually size 10 and 12 clothes that are nice. And yeah,
That's pretty
that's
good.
good.
That's nearly half your original dress size, going from an 18-20 down to a 10-12. I can't imagine for a woman how much, how freeing that is and how that makes you feel and how good that makes you feel when you've got those clothes in your wardrobe. And you've heard me say a few times in this podcast, obesity chose my clothing. And now I do. And it's the same thing for you that, when your weight was up like that,
you're in those 18-20s, now you're down in the 10s and 12s. And yeah, that's
yeah.
truly incredible. So let's talk about exercise now in your journey. You just mentioned there that you're a massive walker. I mean, you're out walking every day on that beautiful beach at Papamoa there in New Zealand, a beach I spent a lot of my youth on. And you're up to 25 Ks a day. That's quite incredible. Is that your main exercise, the walking? And was that always the case prior to you taking up IF when you were heavier? Were you a big walker then?
No. So one of the way back then, my marriage was going through a bit of a rough patch, and part of my fasting and my exercising and my getting my health back, particularly in that first 3 months, was I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do a prayer walk. So I'd go for a 10 kilometer walk on the beach, pray for my marriage, and yeah, just so that was what I was doing at that time. As well as I would walk for my work as well. So some days would be 30 or 40,000 steps in a day. I did join the gym in January, but I don't get there as often as I'd like to. So yeah, my work schedule is hectic, and I'm the main breadwinner in our family right now. So that means that that was not that long ago. And I actually fasted a 3-day fast while I was away because I didn't know what quality of food there was going to be there. So I decided that I just wasn't going to eat while I was there. And that worked really well for me. So that was really good because it was a retreat about taking care of yourself, pretty much. We learned about meditation, and we learned about self-talk, about the words that we say to ourselves, and the positive talk that we say to ourselves, which was really valuable.
Super valuable. I mean, I talk to people all the time about, you know, positive self-affirmation. Start your day every day by saying something positive about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when you change the way you look at things, things you look at start to change. Simple as that. And it's the same with your outlook in life, positivity. If you wake up in the morning and say, oh man, this day's going to be terrible. Oh man, this work's going to be horrible. That person in the office, they suck, you know, all the rest of it. Well, guess what? All of that's going to happen, because what you manifest is what you put out there is what's going to happen. If you wake up in the morning, today's going to be a banging day. I'm going to be great. I'm going to walk down the beach. I'm going to do my 12,000 steps, you know, and I'm going to have a great day today, and I'm going to feel good about myself. I look great in this dress. I'm talking about you, not me. I don't wear dresses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, I look great in a dress. My hair looks great. You know, my car looks nice and tidy today. You know, it was a lovely drive to work, all the rest of it. So when you start thinking about yourself in these positive ways, the wheel really does turn, doesn't it? And it's intermittent fasting plus that retreat obviously has helped you change your mindset about the way you thought about yourself. And before IF, were you a person that was quite negative and down on yourself?
I think I've always been quite positive. It's not. But my self-talk has changed a lot in the last year. So the things I say about myself are a lot nicer now than what they were back then.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. Well, be proud of yourself and keep doing that, because the wheel turns, and the more you do it, then you can share that love out to everybody else. I mean, I take it that you're a person that's giving love to those 6 kids, the 4 grandkids, your husband, the people you're working with in that facility. Those people need special care. They need a lot of help. That young man that I know that you help every day. So there's a lot of love going out of you, Chrissy. So you've got to draw some of that back too. And then once you start doing that, then it becomes powerful. And then that love that you share with others really can be done in such a way that you've still got some for yourself. That's why it's important to do exactly what you were talking about, going for that morning walk, thinking those positive thoughts about yourself. So well done on that. So tell me now, like, you sort of, are you heading towards maintenance, or how far away are you from that?
I'd like to lose. So my next 3 months goal is to get under 70 kilos. According to the BMI, which I don't really subscribe to, but I'm supposed to be around about 63 kilos, which I think is a little bit light for me. I'm quite muscly, but I would like to be under 70. I think around at 68 would be really nice. I'd be okay if I stay between 72 and 75 as well. So, but For now, my goal is to get under 70.
You know, look how far you've come as well. You know, 120
right.
kilos at one point to where you are. And, you know, often we think, oh, you know, we can get down to our, you know, pre sort of high school days weight and all this sort of thing. Well, we've got to realize that we're much older than we were at high school, right? A lot's happened. I mean, you've had six children. So, you know, you put your body through the mill a bit. And, you know, when you think about it, if you can get down to where you are now from 120, then that's pretty good. And sometimes we fight and fight and fight. We think we've got to get the last 5 pounds off or the last 10 pounds off. And it becomes a chore because our body's saying to us, well, you know what? We're okay here. You know, you're not 18, you're not 19 anymore. And this is where we're all right. So sometimes you've got to work out, am I going to accept where I am and I feel good? I mean, you look great, you feel great and all the rest of it. Well, then sometimes you've got to say to yourself, well, okay, well, now if I can maintain. So have you thought about maintenance much going forward and how you're going to handle that? Are you going to do things differently? Because it is a very different mindset.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be similar to you in that I will probably still do Monday to Friday, 24, sort of 23, one, whatever, just one meal a day. And on the weekends, just open that up a little bit. That's what I think I'll probably do. Yeah, listening to your podcast has really helped me with even preparing for that. So
yeah, I think you've got to make a plan. Even when you start, I mean, that's part of the thing I say to people when they first start, write down a list of what is my life going to look like when I get this weight off my body? What are the things I'm going to be able to do? So get a pen and paper, write down on there. If I haven't got this weight on my body, what am I able to do? And then write down on the other side, what is this weight stopping me from doing? And then when you visualize that, and then you plan ahead to that maintenance phase, because once you get to maintenance and you get the weight off, then it's a case of, I've got to keep this weight off for the rest of my life. How am I going to do that? Am I going to revert if I go back to three meals and snacks a day? And, you know, you've got to keep it under control. That's why I talk about people staying in a goal range rather than a goal weight. So if you say to yourself, you want to be 71 to 74 kilos or something like that, rather than say, I want to be 71.5 kilos and then knocking yourself around because you're not 71.5 kilos, that's where it becomes hard. And so maintenance for me to be sustainable is to have a goal range. And if you're up the top of that range, well, you put your foot on the brake and you wind things back in, tighten up your window, look into your eating window, what you're eating, what you're drinking, ramp up your exercise, just bring it back in. So you're recalibrating all the time, Chrissy. So you're just going up and down. So if you get down too low and your body's really fighting it, then you can sort of broaden things out a bit. But yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it when you go into maintenance, just for flexibility and social purposes, I think, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of it for me about like keeping that window open, less closed. So fasting that little bit longer is also about the autophagy benefits for fasting. Because I lost that first 20 kilos in 3 months, I've got a little bit of loose skin, so I just want to be able to have that autophagy to kind of combat that loose skin that I have. So
And that's an over time thing too. If you have a little bit of loose skin, and our bodies are only going to stretch so much and then come back. You know, and if we do it so many times, then we are going to have some loose skin. I was quite lucky. I didn't have a lot, but I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'5". So I always carried weight pretty well, even though I was a huge guy. And, you know, I have a bit of loose skin under my arms and that when I first got down to my maintenance sort of weight. But I've noticed over the last 4 years that that's just got tighter and tighter and tighter. So I think it really is a time thing, Chrissy, more so. But the mental part of IF is quite challenging at times. I mean, the actual process is, it's quite simple. You're fasting or you're feasting, right? So if you found for yourself that making that mindset shift work and the mental part of it has been 95% almost plus?
Oh, definitely. I think it's been a huge part of it because when I'm focused and when I'm really thinking about what I'm doing, that's when I do my best work, you know. That's when the weight sort of comes down easily. But when I start getting bogged down in everyday life and forget about looking after me, that's when things turn to custard. So it's definitely about mindset and about taking care of myself and making sure that I'm here for to reach my 100th birthday like I want to be.
Yeah. Very important. Love yourself first before anyone else. And, you know, it is. I know you're a person of faith and you're very strong on that, but it's also important to love you and make sure that you take that time every day. And that's why OMAD, I find, is like a spiritual experience, because you're preparing that one meal a day, and to make it count, eat what makes you feel your greatest, eat really good food, complement that clean fast, you know, and I feel that that's great. Do you drink alcohol at all, Chrissy, in the last year or no?
I haven't. No, I used to drink occasionally, but I don't drink anymore. I haven't for a long time. I think on Christmas Day I had maybe a couple of sips of a margarita or something, and I didn't feel like it. It was too sweet, so it was just like, nah, I don't need that.
It's funny how our tastes change, isn't it? I mean, a year now with intermittent fasting, and you're finding that you're really starting to gravitate towards that higher quality food. So when you go to the supermarket, are you more and more looking for that higher quality food to give yourself?
Yeah, I love my Scotch fillet steak. It's really yummy. Yeah. I don't, as I said, I've been eating carnivore, so I do prefer my beef than the chicken that I had for dinner tonight. Yeah, so I would rather just eat a good quality steak and some eggs and the lesser, the mince or whatever, you know, just, yeah.
So you mentioned there you've done keto and you sort of done OMAD and then you did a bit of ADF. And with the ADF, when you said that it became hard, I know a lot of people find it hard when they do those long fasts. And then when it comes to the up-down, they find it very hard to control the intake that they have because they start grazing all day. And because a lot of the times when you – I know if I fasted for 42 hours, I would be absolutely starving, because that's why I don't do it, because I know that it's pushing the boundaries too much for me. And it's important for me to stay in my comfort zone. And my comfort zone is eating every day. So I know when I fast, I am going to have something to eat that day. And if I was thinking I'm not going to be eating for 2 days, I know for myself personally, that would be very challenging. I know ADF has a lot of benefits and some people have done some great things on it. I just recorded a episode for the Patreon community about ADF, which gives a great explanation and insight from someone that was very, very successful with it. But ADF can be challenging. So now you've gone into carnivore. And just tell me, what drew you to carnivore?
It was, as I said, the anti, so the benefits for inflammation. That's what it was. And the more I research about carnivore, the more I feel that it's the right thing to do. Sometimes I miss vegetables, but not too much. But as I said, a couple of times I've just binged on sugar, which hasn't been great. And that's been, as I said, from stress.
Yeah, carnivore is something that people do, particularly if they do have problems with sugar, they find that that actually really helps.
Yes.
And I know we had a wonderful carnivore expert on, Emily Harvo, going back about a dozen or so podcasts, if anybody wants to go back there and look. And Emily gave a really good explanation of what it's like to live a carnivore lifestyle. And she gave all the various protocols and what, you know, the various things and what different protocols there was for carnivore. And I found it super fascinating. And I've toyed with carnivore myself. I like to do it in short bursts because it makes me feel really great. But the problem for me is I find it quite bland. If I was going to do it for life or every day, then just eating meat and or meat-based products, I would find that challenging. But I really do like it to do it in short bursts because it certainly makes me feel great. And is that something that you find by eating a carnivore lifestyle, it makes you feel wonderful and that's the way you're going to go in the future?
Yeah, I think so. What I have found is, as said earlier, when I go off carnivore, I just feel awful. Like I just don't, I guess I get foggy headed or, I just find that it's, I just feel so much better when I'm on carnivore. So, but it's, But in saying that, I also, when I was just eating clean, I was also feeling quite good. So if I just added a few vegetables in every now and then, it would probably be okay.
As carnivore, just give us a typical idea of your sort of weekly sort of food. So it'd be steak, be fish, chicken, that sort of thing.
Yeah, mainly I try to eat mostly beef, so mostly steak. I like lamb. I'll have bacon. So mainly I have been eating beef, bacon, eggs and butter. That's what my main diet is in a week.
Yeah.
I throw in a little bit of fish every now and then. Creamy prawns. I love prawns, so my creamy prawns are nice on a big steak.
Well, you certainly live in a place where you can go down the beach and throw out a contiki or a line or so forth and catch so much great seafood there, and it's certainly abundant. But, you know, what about when you first started? Did you find your way to appetite correction fairly quickly? You know, that feeling where you almost becomes automatic when you know that you're full, you're not stuffed, you're just satisfied, what we call appetite correction. Did you notice that early on?
Yeah, I think that my appetite did go down pretty quickly.
Well, I can see any emotion in you in this last year has been a roller coaster for you. But, you know, Chrissy, come on, 40-odd kilos in a year is truly amazing. It really is. And considering everything that you've gone through, I think that's quite incredible. And speaking of support, what have you been drawing from your support networks? I know you're supporting all these other people, but, you know, for yourself, where have you sought support for your fasting journey?
Mainly your community. So Facebook, yours and Sarah's page, they're the only ones I belong to. I belong to a different one as well for a little while, but it was just not, it just wasn't as positive as what yours and Sarah's are. So I left the group.
Yeah, I think it's important, isn't it? Just to have that support network and being able to plug into that, you know, when you need it, and reach out and ask questions and all the rest of it. But you, if you were sitting around in a cafe there in Chrissy, in the Mount of Papamoa, and chatting to a bunch of colleagues and friends, and they were saying, hey, Chrissy, you look fantastic. I mean, tell us a secret. What's going on here? How do I get going with intermittent fasting? What would you tell them?
I think I'd tell them that the first thing is to do is to start. Yeah, skipping breakfast is the best way to start.
Yeah, I think so. And well, it's basically what really most people do that start. They do that 16 and 8, so that basically means they're not eating till lunchtime and just skipping breakfast, really.
I think starting slowly as well, like, don't worry so much about the food that you're eating to begin with, because that will come. The better quality food, the processed food going, that will all start to go once you've reached you. But once you've gotten into the swing of things, you'll start naturally gravitating towards that high quality food anyway.
Yeah, I think so. And the clean fast obviously is important. You can give people that message. And you know, people obviously, sometimes when we lose a vast amount of weight, we have a lot of people that are watching us and we don't even know it. And then they're waiting a lot of the times for us to regain the weight. And then when we don't regain the weight, they'll come to us and say, you know what, whatever you're doing, I want to do it. Because they'll sit back and they may not say anything when you're losing the weight. And you think to yourself, is that person blind? Can't they see that I've lost 40 kilos? They never say anything. But they've seen people lose weight and regain weight so many times that a lot of people don't want to become too enthused and that sort of thing. They might say, oh, you look great or something like that. But deep down, they're thinking to themselves, oh, they're going to regain the weight. You know, they're going to regain the weight. And then when you don't, you have these people come to you. I've had people that were my biggest critics going back 5 years ago that have come to me in the last couple of years and say, okay, you know, we've seen you go through this. And for us to see you keep this weight off for so many years now, that's truly incredible. And so I think that's a big part of it, isn't it? A big qualification for people to actually see that we can keep the weight off. But Chrissy, I can't tell you how inspiring you've been today. And I think you're going to be great. I can't wait to talk to you in 6 or 12 months' time when you'll be firmly in maintenance there. But thank you for joining me here today on the Fasting Highway.
You're welcome. Thanks, Graham, for having me.
Oh, thank you. Okay, thanks. Cheers.
Oh, thank you so much, Chrissy, and thanks for coming on to the podcast today. Thoroughly enjoyed that. What an inspiring journey you've had so far, and look forward to talking to you in another 6 or 12 months' time and see where you are then. And keep doing what you're doing, and so motivating to hear you walking out that 12 kilometres, up to 12 kilometres a day along the beautiful Papamoa Beach there in New Zealand. Rain, hail or shine, that's dedication if you've ever heard it. And if that doesn't motivate somebody out there to combine a bit of movement with their intermittent fasting lifestyle, I don't know what will. But anyway, folks, as you heard, the podcast is now brought to you by our Patreon members community. We've had a really great time in the Patreon community, especially with our Zoom meetings. They're not only a lot of fun, but we get to connect with people from all over the world and connect those people with each other. And it really is a motivating thing, and people can share their trials and tribulations with intermittent fasting. We troubleshoot things, we celebrate success. So if you're looking to get some extra accountability from those Zoom meetings, come and join us in the Patreon community. You can see the link in the show notes here at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. Okay, folks, also, if you are interested in my own story with intermittent fasting and how I got going and how I've been able to make it a long-term sustainable lifestyle, you'll find that in my book, The Fasting Highway. You can get that on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. It is out on audio. You'll find it on things like audiobooks.com, Apple Books Audio, also Kobo and Spotify. Okay, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.